Morning to everyone. Greetings in the name of Jesus. It's good to be here again. Seems like it's been a long time since I've been here, which it has, unfortunately, but it is good to be back home and sharing with you in this service. Just want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning, and I trust that His name will be honored and glorified with what I'd like to share with you today. I'd like to begin by reading a passage from the book of 1 John. If you'd like to, you can turn to that. 1 John, the first chapter. I'd like to read the first nine verses. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. The title of my message this morning is Walking in the Light, and it comes from verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's something that we all take for granted. If you'd wake up some morning and it would be dark at 6:30, completely dark as it is at midnight, you would wonder what's going on. But I don't suppose you thought about it this morning when you got up that it was light. Maybe you did. Sometimes we do. It depends on our circumstances. But it's very real. I remember an incident when I was a young man. I was going around in the middle of the night. I had the job working for my father and in his seed warehouse, and I had to work at night. And it was my job to go to work Monday morning at 12:01 and run that machinery until 6 or 7 when somebody else came. That was always the most difficult time to start the job. You don't know how dark it is at midnight until you drive into a warehouse and the moon's not shining, and you're trying to find your way to the building. You know kind of where it is because you've done this a number of times. But you're looking around, hoping for a glimmer of light so you can see where you're going. And you can't. I couldn't see where I was going that night. But as I said, I knew kind of where I needed to go, and I made my way to the door of that building. Opened the door and stepped inside. It was darker inside than it was outside. And I was a little bit ill at ease because it was dark. I couldn't see where I was going. I couldn't see what was going on. Rest assured, I heard everything that was going on, but I couldn't see anything. And I reached around the post there right inside the door, and I flipped on the light. Oh, now I can see. But I wasn't done. I had to go upstairs, and it's dark up there too. So I headed over to the man lift, and I got onto the man lift and went up to the next floor where the machinery was. And I went from the man lift to the light switch. It was about 10 feet. But it was dark. I couldn't see where it was. But again, I knew. I just made my way, and I hoped there was nothing there that shouldn't have been, which there wasn't. And I found that switch, and I flipped that on too. Light. Everything was fine. I could see now because of light. Darkness and light. They're very contrasting. They're very different, but they both exist. You know what darkness is. You know what light is. But you know what? Darkness and light cannot be in the same place at the same time. It's either one or the other. It's not both. Light is often what we connect to that which is good. Darkness is what we connect to that which is evil. If you want to have both of them in the same spot, who's going to win? Light will always win. Light can eliminate darkness. Darkness cannot eliminate light. Because the only way light is gone is if it is shut off. But it's not because darkness shuts it off. It's because somebody else shuts it off. An individual shuts it off. And then once there is no light, then darkness reigns. But light has the power to cut through darkness in a way that is impressive. If you ever stood outside in the evening and turned a powerful flashlight on, you can see that beam cutting through the dark as far as your eye can see it. It goes on forever, it appears, because light has power. The illustration there that I shared with you, going to the warehouse in the middle of the night, there is a reality of light and there's a reality of darkness. That's a physical reality. And you and I won't argue about that because we all know it's true. But it's a physical reality that illustrates to us a spiritual reality. There is a spiritual light and there is a spiritual dark. And I don't suppose we would argue about that either. But I wonder sometimes when I look at my life, when I look at the life of our church, what are we walking in this morning? Are we walking in the light or are we walking in the darkness? Or maybe we're walking in some kind of a gray light that's a mixture of the two and we don't know whether it's right. We don't know what's right and wrong. We don't know where we're headed. And it's just gray. 2 Corinthians 4. Just one verse I want to read out of that chapter. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Paul says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them." Here the Bible tells us that Satan, who is our enemy, he is the God of the world, he has made it his job to blind the eyes of people so they can't see the light. So we have again, you're either a person with eyes that are blinded or you're a person with eyes that are open and you can see the light. Unfortunately, there is a third category and we are people, that we sometimes are people, there are sometimes people who are not completely blinded, but they're not walking in the light. They're somewhere in the middle. And those kind of people, that kind of a situation is a situation that burdens me the most, because when we're in that situation, when I'm in that situation, I think I'm in the light, but I'm not. And you cannot convince me that I'm not, because after all, I can see where I'm going, or at least I can kind of see where I'm going, and that's sufficient. We call that the gray light. 1 John, I read to you 1 John 1, I read the whole chapter actually. And we can see that only through Jesus, you and I can receive the light that we need. Jesus is the light of the world. And I just a question for you. Are you walking in His light with confidence? Or are you walking in darkness and not sure where you're going? Consider those two questions. Let's reduce it to that, if you can, in your life. Are you in the light or are you not in the light? You say, well, part of my life is in the light, part of it is not. I've got rooms that got the door shut. Well, I don't know how accurate that illustration is, really. But if that's true, well, then it's a problem. But we do know in a natural setting that it is true. You can't have a room that has light and darkness in it. And I just wonder if we can have a heart that has light and darkness in it. We're in the light or we're in the darkness. Where are we this morning? Where are you in your Christian walk? Walking in the light, it needs to be a personal goal. It needs to be my personal goal that I'm in the light, that I'm doing everything I can to stay in the light, that I welcome the light into my life. But walking in the light also needs to be the goal of us as a church. We as a church need to walk in the light. We need to have a light that shines and tells people that we have something. Do you have a light? Do people see a light in your life? You say, well, it doesn't matter. I've got it in my heart. You can't see my heart, but it's there. I've got it. Well, please tell me, in a natural situation, if a light is on, if you go into a room and there's a light on, you see it, do you not? Or even if you're not in the room, you're standing outside, the light is on in here and you see it. If it's not on and I walk up to the outside of this building and I say it's dark in here, and you say, no, the light's on, you just can't see it. We look at that and say, that's a bunch of ridiculousness. And it's true, it is ridiculous. But it is also not very, it's also ridiculous if you and I declare that we're walking in the light and nobody can see it. It's not the way it works. Light is something that you can see. The Bible tells us about that, and we'll get to that verse here in just a minute. But we have the confusion of the gray light. And I want you to think about the gray light. Do you have gray light in your life? What's gray light, you say? Gray light is typified by the light you see in the early morning. Or it's the light you see right after the sun has gone down. And you know, it's not quite dark. It's not quite light. You can't quite see what's going on. I have driven down the road at that time of the morning, and I used to watch birds, be a bird watcher when I was younger, and I see them even now. I don't take much time to observe them. But I do see them, and I'll see these birds sometimes. I remember various times seeing a big bird sitting in the top of a tree. But it's not quite light, and it's not quite dark, and I can't quite tell what it is. That's the gray light. And I'm telling you, my dear people, if we're living a life that's full of gray light, we're in trouble. We are in trouble because we don't know what is truth. We don't know what is right. We don't know what is wrong. We don't know whether to go here or to go there. Just like I don't know if that big bird at the top of the tree is an eagle or a hawk. If it's a little lighter, it's easy to tell. But if it's half dark, half light, it's hard to tell. You can't tell what it is. Nothing is clear. Nothing is sure. I might get to work and say, well, I think I saw an eagle this morning sitting in the top of the tree. It's because I don't know for sure. Gray light causes us to stumble, causes us to be without confidence. We're fearful. We're not sure how to go forward. It will kill us if we live in gray light. And it's that way until someone comes with a light, or until we allow the light of God to shine into our life. And now all of a sudden, it's clear. If we're in a natural situation and we're trying to make things, we're trying to see how things are, we welcome that light. I remember several months ago, our dishwasher wasn't working correctly and my wife said it doesn't wash clean. I know nothing about repairing dishwashers. But I called the dishwasher repairman and he said, well, you need to do this and this and this and this and this. I was driving down the road. I had a Bluetooth, talking to him. And he was trying to explain to me, this is what you need to do. So I was frantically trying to remember all of this. And I got into the house and I started taking screws out and I got down in there and yeah, it was pretty much as he said. But I got finally, you know, I was half in that dishwasher and half out getting down into the guts of it and I couldn't see. I couldn't tell if what he said should be there because it was just not very clear. I could see something down in there, but I couldn't tell what it was like. And you know what? When I went and got a flashlight, I think I actually went and got it. I don't think I asked one of my children to get it. But when I went and got a flashlight, but if they would have gotten it and shown it in there, I would have said, hey, that's exactly what I need. Thank you. Now I can see that, yeah, here's the part he said would be laying here. And it was laying there, like he said. It had come off. It was worn and all of that. But I would have welcomed it because now I can see. Now I can see what I have to do. And most of you have been in that situation where you're trying to do something and you can't quite see. And you're like, shine the light in here. And somebody shines the light. And you're like, no, not right there. Shine it here so I can see what I'm doing. And you welcome it. You're like, yeah, that's just what I need. Thank you. Thank you. We aren't threatened by it. I wouldn't be threatened by somebody shining a light. I wouldn't have been threatened by somebody shining a light into that dishwasher. I welcome it. I accept it. I wouldn't reject it. I wouldn't say, I'll get out of here. I don't want you. No, it's positive. It's good. I wouldn't assume that somebody's coming in with that flashlight with some ulterior motive. He's got some agenda. You know, that son of mine wants to, I don't know, show me out. No, you don't even think about those kind of things because we welcome it. And you know, you would think, would you not, that in a spiritual setting, it would be the same way. When somebody comes in and shines a light on your life, you'd say, thank you. Now I can see how I need to live. Now I can see what decision I need to make. Now I can see where to go. But is that true? How many times do you welcome that light shining in on your life? How many times do I welcome it? I don't very often. Too many times it's like, no, wait a minute, what are you doing? Now hold on, don't shine the light there. Now wait, I didn't ask for that. Now you don't know what you're talking, and we just go on and on with a list of excuses and a list of things that say, hey, just stay back. Stay back. It's my life. When I want the light, I'll ask for it, but until then, don't shine it in there. And as a result, you and I live with gray light. because we don't let the people in our church, we don't let the people in our families, we don't let the people in our communities shine a light in and help us to see the truth. Gray light in the church. And I'm not trying to say that we have gray light here at Halsey Mennonite. I'm not saying that at all. I feel like it's in my life too many times, and I'm going to challenge you to consider it in your life, and I ask us as a group to think about it. Nothing is clear. This is a situation when a church has gray lights. Nothing is clear. We find ourselves dealing with confusion, dealing with questions that can't be seen well, can't be understood well, because there's no light shining in on it. Either from my life or from somebody else's life. Suddenly, because nothing is clear, we find ourselves questioning others, and we can't trust each other. We can't believe that what somebody is saying is for our own good. When somebody does attempt to speak into a situation, does attempt to shine a light onto a question, we self-protect. We put up a defense, as I already indicated, in so many ways. Your motivation is wrong. You have an agenda. Now look, I can see this just as well as you can. You need to be quiet. You don't really care about that individual. How can we take action here when we have another problem over here that we're not doing anything about? Then the list goes on and on and on. And it's all saying, stop that light. I don't want it put in. I don't want it to shine in. And I just urge you, I urge us as a church to consider that question. We need the light of other people. I need your light. You need my light. I need the light of every person here shining in on me, helping me to understand where I need to walk and how I need to live. I need that. And if I don't have that, I will be like a ship at sea without a rudder. I'll be blown wherever my wishes and my whims take me if I don't have the light of God's people shining in on my heart and on my life. Let's not be guilty of trying to turn down or turn off the light from someone else. But let's allow it to shine in and eliminate the gray light that frustrates us, but makes Satan happy. Walking in the light, in my opinion, my belief, as an individual, is a beautiful and a powerful thing. You know, you probably know people who are light walkers, so to speak, who walk in the light. You know, they walk by truth. They have a standard of truth that they live by, and they walk by it. They don't compromise. They aren't ashamed of how they live, but they walk in the light with a smile, and it's beautiful. I have met people like that, and it's wonderful. But you know, walking in the light as a group, walking in the light as a church, creates a beauty and a power that is hard to surpass. And I want to present that to you, to us, as our goal as a church. That is to bring our lights together in such a way to eliminate the grayness that creeps in and causes paralysis of movement, confusion of thought, and ultimately a horrifying mixture of truth and error. Let's work together to not let that happen in our church. Of course, we need to work in an individual way and together from a different perspective too, to not let that happen in our personal lives, but also in our church. Our goal today is to walk in the light. To walk in the light. And that seems like that should be so automatic, should it not? You give your heart to the Lord, the light comes in. And walking in the light should be just the next natural step. But is it? Is it really that easy? Sometimes it is. But when things come into our lives that create problems and suddenly the light's not very clear, what do we do then? You know, we have three possibilities. You can walk in the light. That is a picture of clarity. It's confidence. You're not fearful. You understand. Your understanding is enhanced because of that light. You can walk in darkness. This is a picture of uncertainty and hesitancy. It's a picture of somebody who's controlled by fear, who can't understand things very well. That's what darkness does to you. Or you can walk in grayness. This is a picture of false confidence. Picture of a lack of attention. Details are overlooked and missed. foggy. We all know what fog is. Fog is the accepted norm. Just never clear. There's little light. And if we're walking in grayness, there's a little light. And in our minds, that seems like enough. And we go on. But I just, my burden this morning is that we will not be satisfied with that gray light, but that we will desire to have God's light shine in so completely that nothing is in question in our own personal lives and in the life of our church. The source of light. What is the source of light? Just a few verses, and I don't have time to read them all. Maybe I'll just pull the phrase out from each one of these. Psalm 27 verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light." Psalm 119, we're talking about the source of light. Where does light come from? Spiritual light, that is. Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light." Psalm 119 verse 10 says, "The entrance of thy word giveth light." Isaiah 2, 5 says, "O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Isaiah 9, verse 2 says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light." John 8, verse 12 says, "I am the light of the world." This is Jesus speaking. "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." John 9, verse 5, again Jesus says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And finally, John 12, verse 46, Jesus says again, "I am come, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness." Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is our light. If you want to know what light is all about, then you as an individual need to learn to know the source of light. And the source of light for our spiritual lives is a person. It's Jesus Christ Himself, or God, or the Lord Jesus, however, whatever term you want to use. But it's that individual, that person that we know as God or as Jesus, He is the light. God is light. 1 John 1 verse 5 says, "God is light and in Him is no darkness at all." That is our source of light. And if you want to be living in light, if you want to be walking in light, get close to the source of light. Again, you could use a natural illustration. What good would have done if I, inside of that dishwasher, would have told Derek to take the light and stand over by our kitchen table, which is about 8 feet away, and then he shines the flashlight into the dishwasher. What good would that have done me? He didn't do it, but it would have done me no good whatsoever. I was too far away from the light. Get to know the light. Get to know the individual. Philippians 3, Paul says, "that I may know Him." You know, Paul, you look at the Apostle Paul, somebody we'd all like to be like. He was a man of God. He was a warrior. He was a worker. He was a good example. We all wish we had the same boldness. We all wish we could be as committed, I suppose, as the Apostle Paul. And he said, "I want to know Him. I want to know Him. I want to know who He is." And the Bible doesn't necessarily tell us how he did that. But I don't think it takes too much thinking on our part to understand what needs to be done to know Him, to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to know God. If I want to know you, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to make sure that we are together, and I'll learn to know you. And if we want to know God, we need to talk to Him. We need to spend time with Him. We need to accept His authority in our lives. And again, if we don't accept His authority, then we're not going to take time to talk to Him, and we're not going to take time to spend time with Him, because we don't want that. We need to submit to Him, submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to hear what Jesus has to say to us, what God has to say to us. We need to acknowledge the right of God to direct our way. And in doing all of these things, we begin to know Him. And in beginning to know Him, we begin to expose ourselves. We begin to give ourselves the opportunity to have His light in our lives. You know what? We're people that too many times we want the light. We want the light. Spiritually speaking, we want the light, but we refuse the relationship. We're like, "God, I want the light. Shine in on my life so that I know where I need to go. Shine your light here so I know what decision to make. Shine your light here so I know how to talk to this person. And the light, and the list goes on and on. We want the light, but we don't want the relationship. We don't want to commit ourselves to the relationship. We want the light, but we want to be in control. We want the light, but then we don't want it completely. When we come to God and say, give us the light, and then He shines it in, we say, stop, wait, there's a little bit here you can't have. There's a little bit of an area here you can't shine your light into. We want the light, but we don't want the relationship. You know, and the Bible's clear that at some point, you and I can resist the light. We can put a block up, as it were, so that the light of the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't shine in. You can do that. You can do that, and we can hide things. We can bury things. We can put them under covers. We can put them behind locked doors. We can do all of that. So the light of God doesn't, and the light of God doesn't hit it. We can do that right now. But there's a sobering reality that Jesus tells us in Luke 12. And I'd like to read three verses from Luke 12. And you all know probably what I'm going to read, but it is something for us to consider. Because it helps blow away the falsehood that we can't hide. Luke 12, verses 1 to 3. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, nothing hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. You know, I don't know if I know exactly when that's going to be, and that's kind of beside the point. Maybe that's when Jesus comes back. But the truth is that it's going to happen someday. It's what the Bible says, and we believe the Bible to be true. That someday all of these things that we've buried and hidden are going to be out in the open for all to see. And for me, the choice seems pretty clear. I'd rather they be out in the open now than to have them revealed later. I'd rather I allow the light of God to shine into my life and help me to see them and to clean them up than have them to be revealed at that time. To walk in the light, know the source. Engage in a relationship with God that's meaningful. To walk in the light, stay close to the source. Stay close to the source. I already alluded to that truth. Stay close to the source of light. And with Jesus as your light, stay close to Him. You know, get rid of those barriers that we can put up. Get rid of them so they don't block the light. What are some of those barriers? I have just a few here. Barriers and blinders. We put them up to create distance. We want distance between us and the light. We want a block or something. We just don't want that light close. So we'll put something to create distance. One of the first barriers that came to my mind was selfishness. Selfishness, that's the focus on I. We focus on ourselves, and you know what? We have distance. The light's out here now because we're back here. That barrier effectively blocks the light of truth. Consider the story Jesus told about the Pharisee and the publican. Would you think that Pharisee who prayed had light shining into his life? The light of God shining into his life? You know, it's not hard for us to see that no, he didn't really. And why not? Because he was a selfish man and he thought only of himself. His focus was on I. Another barrier that creates distance, materialism. That focuses on things. Again, the rich man who wanted to build more barns in the story that Jesus told us. Distance, materialism. Are things bad? I'm not trying to say that. But I'm just saying that we, to walk in the light, need to stay close to the source. And materialism is something that will block the light. It'll create distance between us and the source. Busyness is another barrier. The focus here is on activity. Doing, doing, doing. We all like, well, I shouldn't say we all. I like to do things. Most of you do too, I suppose. And this is the one that I struggle with a lot, being so busy. Having so much activity that I find all of a sudden that I'm distant from the light. I'm not in the light anymore. I'm not walking in the light. Things aren't very clear anymore because of busyness. Get rid of it. Another barrier is my rights. My rights. Focus here is on fairness. When we focus on everything being fair, there's distance between us and the light. The disciples, when they were arguing about who will be the greatest, Jesus came into that discussion and said everything's true. But as long as their focus is on fairness, who is the one that deserves to be the greatest and deserves to sit here and sit there, they were not, the light was not shining in. And Jesus came and redirected that light and said, this is the way it should be. My rights, a barrier to the light. Traditions. The focus is on structure. And when that focus is on structure, there's distance between us and the light. Again, taking an illustration from the Scriptures, the Pharisees as a group. The Bible is very clear. They were very concerned about structure, very concerned about tradition and how things were and how things need to be carried on. And again, would you evaluate them and say they had the light shining in their lives? No, we wouldn't do that. Structure, traditions. When that focus is on structure, there is distance. And again, let's get rid of these barriers so that the light can shine in and we can walk in it. Let's not let them be here. Finally, the sixth, barrier is grace. Here, the focus is on tolerance and acceptance. And when that is the focus, there is distance between us and the light. Grace, a beautiful thing, and I don't want to say anything negative about it, except to say that when its purpose is to tolerate and to accept, then there is distance. I've experienced it. I've lived in a situation where it's true. And I know it is true. The modern Church of America is that way today. So let us not let that become a barrier between us and the light. Many of these things are good that I mentioned, but they can become barriers. Remember, we want to stay close to the source. To walk in the light, we need to connect ourselves to the source. In other words, we need to take some action. There is a certain element where that light shines in, but sometimes we need to go get the light. We need to actually do things to allow that light to come in. We need to open the blinds, as it were. There's a house on Powerline Road, and I don't go by it very many times, but I have never seen the blinds pulled on that house. Never. They are shut all the time, as far as I know. And I wonder, why doesn't that individual who lives in that place ever, and yes, somebody does live there, I know that. Why don't they ever open the blinds? I don't know if they don't like the light. I have no idea. But it's an illustration of us sometimes, because the light's there, it wants to shine in, but we refuse to open the blinds to let it in. And if you want light in your life, there are some things you need to do. You need to open the blinds. Sometimes you need to turn on the light. If you go into a dark room, is the light just going to show up? No, you got to flip the switch. You got to start first by actually going in. And then you got to turn it on. But so many times we hesitate because we're frightened of the light. We're afraid of it. We're afraid of what it's going to show us. We're afraid of what it's going to ask us to do. And we aren't sure we want to go that far. But walking in the light shouldn't be a fearful thing, but rather it should be a thing that we realize that we need and we want it. We take the initiative. We go find the light, as I did with the flashlight and the dishwasher problem. Sometimes we might ask somebody to bring us the light. You know, there are things we do so that we can walk in the light. It isn't just an automatic. You invite God into your heart and bam, the light's there and there's nothing you need to do. There's nothing that needs to happen. It's just there. You know, and you can live and the light's just always there. Well, I don't know. Maybe that's the way it is in your life, but it's not the way it is in mine. There are things that I need to do to make sure that that light shines where it needs to shine. I'd like to spend the next few minutes yet talking about walking in the light as a collective group. That is, as a church. The Bible tells us in Matthew 5 that we are lights and we are to let our light shine. Matthew 5 verses 14 to 16. I don't know if I have it all printed out here, but Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's very clear that Jesus says, you and I are to be a light. I'm to be a light. You're to be a light. Every individual here is to be a light. It's to shine. It's not to be covered. It's not to be hid. But it needs to be, as it were, up on that hill where people can see it. And it actually makes a difference in the lives of people around it. But is it simply an individual thing? Is that all there is to it? Well, consider with me just a little bit. Can a church, that is a group of people, be a light? Should they be a light? Is a church a better light? Is a church light a better light than an individual light? If you were to rate the light coming from Halsey Mennonite Church, that is the church that we all, most of us, are a part of. If there are visitors here, then think about your own church. How would you rate it? 10 is so bright that it can't be ignored and people automatically see it because of its brightness, and you and your group have an effect on your community, and 1, it's so bright that no one in the community knows about you and your group because you blend in and your group makes little difference in your community. How would you rate the light of our church? How would you rate the light of your home church? Does it matter? Does it really matter? I don't know. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't matter if we're a light or not. Maybe it just matters that I have that light flickering in my own heart, burning in my own heart. And it doesn't really matter if Halsey Mennonite Church is a light in the community. Well, I would like to emphasize that I believe it does. The light of the group is important. Think of the story of Gideon in the Old Testament. When him and his 300 men took their pitchers with lights in them, and they surrounded that army of the Midianites of many thousands of men, and they broke their pitchers and they shouted, and all of those lights together created such confusion that they were able to defeat that much larger army. Does the light of the group make any difference? Does it matter? Yes, it does, because Satan hates the light of the church. And when he sees the church banding together, he thinks about, as it were, what Gideon did with his 300 men. And he realizes that the light of the community, the light of Halsey Mennonite Church, if it's banded together, can have such an effect against his kingdom that he fears it. And he hates it. And he will do everything he can to make sure that it's just little individual lights flickering here and there and here and there. And there's nothing wrong with individual lights. They need to flicker in your neighborhood where you live. They need to burn. Yes, they do. But Halsey, the town of Halsey, should know about Halsey Mennonite Church in such a way that they see a testimony, they see a light coming from us. And it makes a difference in our community here, all through this small town. Because a light it's so bright that it can't be missed. The benefits of the collective light. Brightness is enhanced when there are many. Again, you think about this in a spiritual, in a physical way, and make the application to our spiritual lives. Physically, when you have a lot of lights together, it's brighter. The areas of dimness are reduced when there are many. Yes, that's true. When there are many lights shining, there's not as many, or hardly any, spots that are gray light anymore, because every light shines and it fills in all of the cracks in every area. At least this is what it can do. And sometimes it does. I think it should be our vision for it to happen in our church here. Benefits. The need for individual energy to produce effective light is lowered. You and I don't need to put as much energy out to make our light burn as brightly so that so many people see it, because we put energy into it and it becomes a part of the larger light. And it takes less energy, as it were, on our part to make that effective light. The area influenced by the light is greatly enlarged. One large light influences so much more than one tiny light. Finally, the effectiveness of the individual lights is strengthened by the larger light of the group. Benefits of the collective light. The need for the collective light. We need it. You and I need it. I already alluded to this, and I just want to emphasize that I need it. You need it. We need the collective light to encourage more openness in our individual life. We need it. We need people speaking into our lives. We need the collective light to shine a light for the person who is stumbling. So if my light shines in, your light shines in, here's somebody that's struggling, and all of a sudden, a light from some other individual who maybe has been through this struggle comes into this whole discussion, and it shines on that guy's life, and he says, "Oh, I see it now. I understand it now." That's the collective light shining in and giving direction. Collective light to demonstrate the Christian idea of brotherhood and care in a world that's rife with individualism and loneliness. The beauty of the light when somebody is struggling with loneliness. We need the collective light to combat the ever-increasing darkness around us. That darkness is getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and without the collective light of the church, we are in serious danger of being snuffed out. Let's band together and produce a light that Satan and all of his power, all of his desire cannot extinguish, but it burns brightly. Just a few enemies of the collective light yet. Individualism. My way is the best. I don't need you. I just don't need you. My way is the best. I have it figured out. That's one enemy. Individualism. Arrogance. You know, like I said, I have it figured out. You just need to grow up. If you'd been through what I've been through, you'd see it like I see it. There is a place, I suppose, for those who are older and have been through life a little bit more than those that are younger, to share with the younger, with saying, "Look, this is what's going to happen because I have experienced it," but not with arrogance. An enemy of the collective light is absence. How can you be a part of the collective light of your church if you're never present? I guess I'm a good one to talk since I've been gone for a month. But in the bigger picture, how can we contribute if we're not present? How can your little light that shines wherever you live, in Harrisburg or Halsey or on Powerline or on Lake Creek or wherever it is, how can that little light there make any difference in this particular church if you're not a part of, if you're never in the discussions, if you're never in the meetings, if you just stay away for whatever reason? That's what Satan wants us to do, is to stay away. It is an enemy of the collective light. Deafness. Your thoughts aren't even worth my attention. I'm not even going to listen. Enemy of the collective light. Distrust. What are you saying that for? You have an agenda. I know you do. I know you've got something there. You're trying to make a comment. You're trying to make a point. Enemies of the collective light. Hardness. You just need to hear the truth. You know, that person just needs to hear the truth. I'm going to tell it to him. I know it, and I'm going to say it, and I don't care whether it's kind. I don't care whether it's the right time. I'm just going to say it. And again, there is probably a time to say the truth. But hardness will destroy the collective light. Dominance. That is, my light needs to be the brightest, and I want everybody to know that. That will snuff out the light rather than making it better. Satan fears the light of the individual. But I believe, as I already said this morning, I'll just say it again, he fears even more the light of the collective body of Jesus Christ, the church. I believe he will go to whatever means to destroy the light of the church. For there to be a collective light, there has to be individual involvement. To kill the collective light, Satan is working overtime to minimize the involvement. And he uses all kinds of methods. And I just want to encourage you, Don't let any method he might use to convince you that you don't need to be involved in your church to be successful. The church needs you. We need you. The group needs each one here. And let's be a part of that collective light. Satan hates the church of Christ and the light that it shines into the world, his kingdom. He is a master at slowly robbing the church of its energy so that the light of the church slowly gets dimmer and dimmer. Yes, and the sad part about this is that so often our churches don't even realize it. They don't even know what's happening. If there is truly light, there will be evidence of light. And I already alluded to that. You can't say, "I've got it in my heart. You just don't know it's there, but I have it. If there's light present, there will be evidence, both physically and spiritually. And I just encourage us all to take the time to look at our lives and see if there's evidence of the light. Take the time to look at our church and see if there's evidence of the light and how you as an individual need to be a part of that. So how would you describe your walk today? Are you totally enveloped in the light? That is, it's like the afternoon sunshine. There's no shadows. Everything is clear. Like on a sunny day, you can see where you're going. There's no question. Is that the kind of light that describes your spiritual life? Or are you walking in gray light, that early morning light, that early evening light, when you've got a strain to see what you're trying to see, the details, you can't quite see them. Is that the kind of light you're walking in spiritually? Or maybe you're walking in, I put a fourth category in here because it seemed to fit. Are you walking in the semi-darkness? As I was one night, when I made my way from our room to the bathroom, which is right across the hall, and the door was supposed to be open. It was not completely dark. I could kind of see. But before I realized that, I nearly ran into that door, which was closed. It wasn't supposed to be. But I couldn't see where I was going. Semi-darkness. Or are you walking in complete darkness? As is demonstrated, some of you have been to, I'm not sure if any of you here have, but I know some of Laura's family has been to Poland. And when they were there, we took them to the salt mines of Poland, 450, 460 feet underground. And they have lights down there. But when they turn those lights out, and they will do that for you just to show you how dark it is, you can touch your nose with your hand and cannot see it. It's so dark you can't see. That's complete darkness. Does that demonstrate the life, your spiritual life? I certainly hope not. I hope that all of us are walking in the light of God. The Christian walk is meant to be a walk of joy. It's meant to be an action of confidence. It's meant to be a picture of clarity, a journey of certainty. But it can only be this if we walk in the light. It can only be this if we let it shine everywhere in our lives. It can only be this way if we let it shine out everywhere around our lives. As an individual, as a church, let's make it our goal to shine a light in the communities that we live in. A light that illuminates the truth. A light that calls people to come and experience the freedom that comes with that light. May God bless you as you truly live in and experience Jesus, the light of the world. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins." Thank you. Let's have a closing song.